Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning, Cynthia and Nat. It's Sam Dotson from FreeKeen.com.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to give just a quick update for the listeners. Cynthia, I know I sent you an email. They have sent it off to Panasonic to
be
repaired. So, yes, the camera. So I should have that back in a few weeks, and we'll be all set with
that. And everybody's friends again.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good.
So I'm calling in to congratulate the school board and the teachers union on a job well done. I mean, $60 million to educate 3,600 students comes out to about $16,400 per student. And I mean, that is, in this economy of anything, that is just outrageous. You could send your kid to a private boarding school in England for about that much. And, you know, I didn't think they had it in them to pull off a heist of this magnitude from the people of this community. But, they were willing to engage in financial terrorism by giving the voters a supposed choice between higher property taxes or even higher property taxes. And that was simply just to scare people off and keep them away from the polls so people know there's really no difference that they're actually going to make. But then just to be sure, they bring in all the teachers, because Ian and I went out to the polls and we're talking to people about what they're voting for and that sort of thing. And we caught up with Jenna Spear, who heads up Keen Cares, the teachers group. And while we were talking to her, all the ladies going in to vote seemed to say hi and know her because they were teachers. So it's the teachers and the administrators and the people who are directly benefiting from taking this money from the community that are going in there and voting for these horrendous acts. And, you know, it's pretty outrageous to think that that's how much it's going to. And the claim that she made is, well, you know, we're not getting as much money as we used to from the state. So that's somehow, in her mind, justified the increases. Well, the private schools don't have a money fairy that comes along and pays for new buildings or anything like that. So they have to take it all out of the tuition. And somehow they managed to do it for 10 to 12, 15,000.
But don't you think that at least part of the reason that this budget was approved was that the default budget was higher?
Well, and for the record, private schools now charge an average of something around $45,000 for boarding.
Right.
For boarding.
Right.
Well, I think the reason it was approved, yes, and that's the financial terrorism, because the voters really didn't have any choice. There was no real choice offered in the vote, so going out and voting really didn't make it any different. I mean, the choice that was given is, do you want higher property taxes or even higher property taxes?
Right.
And, you know, enrollment is declining, and, you know, that nobody is losing their job. The government is big, it's broke, and it's going to start locking down a control grid by connecting the dots and using its power against the people. The traffic ticket example with the college kids is another perfect example of exactly what you guys are doing. Why not?
One principal did lose a job. There was one principal's job lost this year.
Right.
Well,
and
I can look at the end result and see $16,000 for what's supposed to be an education to make sure the poor kids in America don't go running around like indigents or whatever. And, you know, that's just not justifiable at that kind of a price.
And Sam, I think that eventually, Sam, that the city is going to have to look at the elementary school. I think they're going to have to eventually close an elementary school. And I think, you know, whether people like it or not, I don't know what one it'll be, but I think they'll have to close
one
because...
Right. Nobody's been able to tell human beings how to breed. So sometimes we have a lot of kids and other times we don't.
Right.
And a school is necessarily it's like an ocean liner. You don't stop on a dime. You make the changes, but they have to be gradual.
No, businesses have been making those changes. They've been laying off staff, but government hasn't. Government wants to keep the people that they have and the processes that they've established, despite the fact that they're not flexible enough, they're not serving the needs of this community, and they've become outrageously expensive. They're going to hold on to that and just be willing to take people's houses and
facts,
put people into bankruptcy and destitution.
I think your facts are a little miscued there as to positions and layoffs. There have been at the school level. I can't recite them specifically.
Right.
But
and certainly by attrition in the city, there have been several positions that were down because when people leave, we just haven't hired people to replace them.
Another thing, Sam, is as one who has worked fairly hard on a volunteer basis to try and get the state to come up with some kind of equalized funding for education so that people in one town get, students in one town get as good a crack at education as any other town in the state, that's certainly not happening now, but I would love to see your involvement in figuring out equitable distribution of funds for education.
Well, but that's just it. I don't think that by joining the gang that's taking all this money from people by force, because, you know, you guys may not want to admit it, but if people don't pay the property taxes, of which 50% go to pay for these outrageous enrollment tuition costs per student, then the sheriffs come and throw them out of their homes and take it and sell it out from under them. So I think there's a better way to fund the schools that doesn't involve doing that to people and holding their house over their head or holding parking tickets over their head. I mean, why don't we also use the public water service to turn off their water? Hey, it's New Hampshire public electricity, so let's cut their power off too and let them sit in the dark with no water and then see if they want to pay their parking tickets. Well, I mean, where does this end?
If you don't pay for your electricity, I'm paying for
right.
it. Where is the fairness in that?
I think it ends now because we've got another caller, but...
I'm not saying don't pay for electricity. I'm simply saying that, you know, you could use that as the next step to force people to pay for it by shutting it off, even if they are paying, because they haven't paid their parking tickets.
Right. Well, thank you for calling, and we have some other people calling, so thank you. 357-1290. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning. I've kept my mouth shut long enough. You haven't heard from me in many months, have you?
Why is that?
Because,
I was worried about you.
Because I have promised the powers to be in my house that I would keep my mouth shut. He's out of town today. Now, I'm tired of hearing this Free Stater or whatever Sam's name, whatever. I think instead of putting his effort into criticism of how things are run, I think he ought to get involved.
Right. And Nat actually invited him to get involved in that.
And he didn't do anything, did he?
Well, I guess, I mean, I don't know if he will eventually, but...
I think so. I would imagine so. Anyone with that amount of passion has to for their physical health.
No, that amount of criticism of other people.
Well, they certainly do disagree with the way things are run, and I disagree with them, but that's okay.
Well, you're right. But at this point, if you have that much criticism, then get involved.
Agreed.
Right.
Don't criticize the people that you're trying to change their mind. Work with them.
Right, right.
Turn it to energy.
And we could change the way we pay for education in this state, and that would help a great deal.
Listen, we've been thinking about that a long time.
I know.
How many years?
Isn't it time to do something about it?
Well, evidently nobody wants to. Nobody can.
Well, I don't know.
I agree with you, but at the same time, I think New Hampshire and Keene specifically has a very high value system for education. We have educational opportunities in myriad places throughout the city. While we're not able to pay for it properly, we do still hold it to the highest levels.
Well, I've been against a lot of beliefs in the city of Keene that I've lived here 45 years. But otherwise, all I know is what they're doing. Somehow it's working. Somehow my son was educated, got in a good college, and comes right back to Keene to work.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
Well, our children as well.
Right.
This is the way it works. And so, therefore, if what's working and nobody seems to come up with a better plan...
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's my opinion. And I'm tired of listening to this guy, and I know it's all free by calling in, and I would gladly pay to run my mouth. But I'm just telling you, why not get involved one way or another? Just get involved.
Well, that's true. So,
that's my speech for today.
Well, and don't be such a stranger. Call more often.
Well, I can't if my husband is in town. He doesn't like me running my mouth.
Get him a job on Saturday mornings.
Well, I got one this morning for him.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Might be a good time to mow the lawn.
Or yeah. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. It's Ian from FreeKeen.com.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, Matt, you mentioned that boarding school is like $45,000 just for the boarding, and I believe what you're saying there. Private schools, however, do run quite a large gamut in price range, so I think it's only fair that we acknowledge the low end of the scale as well. It's my understanding from Mark, who lives out in Westmoreland, that there's a school out there that charges $1,500. Now, it's not a boarding school, but it is a private school that charges $1,500 per year. So there's quite a range of prices available out there, everything from the ultra ritzy elite kind of boarding schools to just a private school that gets the job done for as low a cost as possible.
Sure, that's fair.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that's fair. Yes.
Okay. So aside from that, to respond to what the lady just called in about the old admonition of, well, if you don't like it, you need to get involved. And, well, you mentioned earlier, Cynthia, that we disagree, for instance, on this issue. But the thing is, I'm not really free to disagree with you. I mean, I can speak in disagreement with you, but I can't act in disagreement with you. And that's one of the things that's really just so inherently wrong.
What would that involve?
If you disagree and you want to maybe keep your money and give it to the school that you agree with, the school that is doing the job that you think is right, then like Sam was talking about, you'll lose your home. They'll kick you out into the street, and then what? So you're saying the only way to deal with that is to get involved in the system that you disagree with, that you have a fundamental disagreement with, and the system itself is built to be unwieldy. It's built to be difficult. I mean, we talked to, as Sam was mentioning, we were involved. We were out in front of the polling location talking to people about how they felt about the vote. One guy said that he was really frustrated that, you know, this is what he has to choose from. And we had a nice conversation with Jenna Spears, who was very, very nice. And I think that the interesting thing is we both want the same thing. I mean, she wants the best education possible, and I think education is very important as well. It's just that the methods at which we are looking to achieve such a thing are completely different. You know, I'd like to see education implemented on a consensual basis, where each parent gets to choose for themselves how to spend their money, and you know, in what ways to garner education for their children, and that the people that can't afford to purchase education for themselves can be helped out by people on a charitable basis. But if I were to go and get elected to the school board, there would be nothing that could be done within the confines of the system and the rules that the school board has to follow in order to implement a system like that. So really what you're talking about is like a total change to some extent at the state level, which is, I mean, you're talking about a tremendous level of money and effort, and I don't know about you guys, but I just don't have that kind of time, money, or effort to throw at that problem. I think it would be a lot easier to just convince people to stop going along to get along, and you know, see what happens if 100 people stop paying the school property tax. Are you guys going to steal 100 homes from people?
Well, I don't know, but we can, I don't know, we have to move on. But thank you very much for calling, and we can talk about it later. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I just turned in the radio on, so I don't know who your guest is, but...
And it's Nat Stout, city councilor.
Oh, okay. Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. And you?
Great. I got a question I want to ask. Where's all of this money going to come from in terms of, you know, the inmates, you know, paying for all of this. I mean, with the way things they are now in this country, I mean, we are so broke. You know, how are we going to be able to afford to be able to pay the staff to run that place if we can't even keep up with our own taxes?
I mean, it comes out of taxes. That's the way everything is funded in New Hampshire.
Right, but I mean, if there's no work, how's it going to be paid?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, but I mean, you know, the not only the state of New Hampshire, but I mean, our own federal government spends so much money trying to fight, you know, these marijuana laws.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of money that's spent on it is enormous.
Yeah.
It seems to me that instead of putting a gambling casino in the state of New Hampshire and, you know, using taxpayer money to gamble on a casino, it seems to me that it would make more sense to legalize marijuana. Think of the enormous amount of money that that would bring in.
Oh, I think we've talked about this many times, that
right,
certainly a tax on it would...
I don't people get it. Think of the jobs that it'll create. Think of the things that could be used. I mean, you can make fuel, clothing, all kinds of possibilities can happen.
Right.
Well, there's a lesson in history, and that's prohibition, which it grew the racketeering in the country, and the smuggling, and the gangsters.
Right.
It just created a whole under economy, a whole black economy that I believe that these laws that we have now are doing the same.
And people believe that if you smoke marijuana, you'll move on to the hard stuff, which is, of course, why we don't sell beer in New Hampshire.
You can say that
move on to the hard stuff.
Right.
Cynthia, you could say that same thing about alcohol.
Well, that's what I just said. We don't sell beer in New Hampshire because otherwise people will start drinking the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I think that it's definitely going to be looked at. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen eventually, but you see the edge is weakening now.
Right.
To some
I mean, it's going to happen eventually, but I mean, what's it going to take? You know, to people on the street?
A vote by the legislature. And they had a vote this year, and I don't know, it didn't lose. Did it lose by much? I don't remember now, but
I'm not sure the votes occurred.
My understanding is that it got somewhat to pass, but, you know, of course, Governor Lynch, he's not going to agree to that.
Well, he didn't last year, but he said there were some provisions, though I don't recall specifically what they were.
He didn't like the way it was being provided, wasn't it, or something?
Well, I don't recall.
I can't remember. If somebody's listening that knows.
What about what the people want? It's not about what Governor Lynch wants. It's about what the people
exactly.
want.
But and also, it's not about total decriminalization of marijuana. It's only for the possession of a very small quantity.
Right.
But that's just the tip of the iceberg. It should be completely legalized.
Well, I think you have to take baby steps.
Go ahead. We can take baby steps. Okay, but by doing that, we're not... You know, we're not creating any jobs. Come on, let's get real here.
Well, I think if you legalize small amounts of marijuana for personal use, it would certainly create some jobs. I mean, people might open up stores and, you know, hire people and that sort of thing to have these stores.
Well, I'm thinking right now that, we're not in a position where, I mean, we need to get...
We'll see what happens. But I know last year there was a bill that... It was one was for medical use and decriminalizing small amounts. And I believe both bills were now maybe if Steve Lindsay's still listening,
no, I'm quite sure they
call
were
back. I think they were both voted on, and I don't remember whether it was a big or a small margin, but it lost.
It did lose, and I think the question is larger though. I really think that it bears thinking about to decriminalize drug use in general, and that may seem radical, but history shows that if we try to regulate things that are going to get out there anyway, then
right.
what we're doing is fostering a black economy and a criminal element.
Right.
And the aim isn't to make the drugs more accessible. The aim is to eliminate what fosters criminals.
Exactly.
And going back to the original point, putting people in jail, sometimes for three offenses or more for life, when what they've done is not a victim crime. It's a victimless crime.
Of course it is.
It's absurd that we have the numbers in prison in the United States are tantamount to third world country figures. I just,
and who pays for all that? All the taxpayers pay for all that.
Of course.
Right. Why not move that over to treatment in some way?
Well, not only just maybe treatment, maybe if some who thinks that they need it, but, you know, I like I said, I strongly think that we need to get right in there and change that and let's get to work.
Well, let's see what happens.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for calling. 357-1290 is our number, and if you give us a call, we've got about 10 minutes left, so that if you have something that you want to say, now's a good time to give us a call.
We are in a time where finding new economic solutions, new opportunities to generate income, we need to take them, that's for sure.
Right. And what's the post office going to do?
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
They're in a bind.
They are. How would you feel about no delivery on Saturday?
I'm okay with it because, you know, we get basically invoices and marketing materials.
Right. Nothing that can't wait till Monday.
Almost always the personal stuff comes over in electronic form.
Right. 357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I totally agree. Yes, we should make it marijuana legal. Yes, and for the reasons that we've already heard. Now, I'm thinking about this, and the reason that I think it's not legal is because there's not a test like there is for alcohol to see when someone is under the influence. So if someone kills somebody in an accident, they can't tell right then if they're under the influence right then and there. So that poses a problem.
It is.
That's a point I hadn't thought of.
I wonder if there are tests out there.
I don't know.
I think there are. I know there are.
I don't know.
Because certain businesses have drug testing requirements for hiring and then periodic testing after that.
Well,
and
they can have it. You can have drugs in your urine, but how much is too much?
Right. And, maybe the case is that you can't tell immediately.
Yeah.
If
alcohol, you can do a breathalyzer test and know immediately what you've got.
There are trace elements in marijuana, but they last for weeks. So you can't tell if you're currently intoxicated, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's the problem. You need to have a test where they can tell if you're under the influence of pot at that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to whether it's in your system.
That's a very good point.
It was very interesting, a little bit off point, to know that just, I think, Thursday it was announced that traffic fatalities in the country are lowest they've been since the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the credit for that is enforcing DWI laws. So your point is to keep people off the road when they're smoking is very well taken.
I wonder how much of it is people are driving less.
Well, there was that point, too. There was that, yes.
So anything else, caller?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. 357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Doesn't
Mr. Bernard have his own radio show?
He does.
And why doesn't he keep his diatribe to his own radio show? I know he's listening because he's targeted you on his website, so his friends can call in. And I really object to what he's doing. If I want to listen to him, I'll go on at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And I think he's destroying the civility of your show. And he's turned a lot of people who used to call in off because they won't listen. Okay. And I think Danny Mitchell ought to talk to him about it and not have a show host calling in and interrupting your show. Now, I know he has the right to do it, but Danny has the right to take him off the air if he doesn't follow company policy.
Oh, that's a good point.
So, and he's really annoying. He is passive-aggressive. I don't think he's very nice to you, Cynthia. He talks in a nice, sweet voice, but he's always trying to trap you into answering a question that's an absurdity because he wants to get you in a corner. And you're much too nice to him. And really, if I want to listen to
can
his diatribe...
Can you be too nice?
Huh?
Can you be too nice?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Well, it's called an enabler.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure you're familiar with that term.
Yes, I am.
As I say, it's a diatribe, and he has no solution to the problem. And the thing about the school district budget, we had a general meeting, and people could come in and vote in anything they wanted.
Right.
They didn't show up.
Right. That's true.
It's an absurdity. I just can't understand it. But anyway, I think Danny Mitchell should be informed, and I also think you ought to look at their webpage because they're streaming you somehow all over the country and getting their sophomoric friends to call in. And I got one other thing to mention. I was talking to somebody who volunteers at the community kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what the free status is down there at the community kitchen taking food from the government that they don't really like.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, think about that. Next time Sam calls and ask him about his friends.
But,
and I know that Community Kitchen is a private charity, but we fund a lot of it.
Right.
That's true, we do.
And, you know, they don't want to have the government spend money on anything. Maybe they shouldn't use the toilets in their house and using our sewer system,
right,
or our
right.
water system.
Right.
They take advantage of the things that they like and criticize the things that they don't like. And, Cynthia, when you talk to them about the schools, it's not a matter of money. They don't want public schools, period.
Oh, I understand that.
You engage them and just tell them. There's no sense talking about it because we believe there should be public schools, and you don't, whether it costs $60,000, which it doesn't.
Right.
It's much less. And the other thing they mentioned, that Keene Cares is a teacher organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's nonsense. I helped start it.
Oh, okay.
And I... don't work for the city of Keene or the teachers in Keene. And I know the people that were encouraged. The very first meeting, there were some teachers who, I think maybe one, but it's not a teacher organization. I don't participate anymore with it because I'm too old. Well, I've been doing that for 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Well.
You know, but I think they're a good organization, and what they want is good education for our kids.
Exactly.
So maybe next time Mr. Bernard calls in, you can tell him you've got at least one listener that wishes he would stay on his own program.
I actually have told him that a few times.
Well, I know he's listening.
Thank you.
I know he's listening because you should look at his webpage, that Free Keene thing. And they're deliberately setting out to try and monopolize this hour. But thank you. I will talk to you again someday.
Thank you. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, Cynthia, who is that guy?
Who is that guy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Former state rep or something like that?
No. Not at all. I don't think he's ever been politically active.
I see. Well, he called in again. Obviously, he loves me because he keeps talking about me so much.
This is the point. Maybe we should move on. I mean, that's something for you to consider. I don't think we should get into a public debate on this now.
The name calling is really kind of embarrassing for him. Sophomoric, passive aggressive.
But here you are doing exactly what he was complaining about. Why don't you let it rest and bring it up when you're on the air? Give someone else a chance.
It's a national show, Nat. It's a national show. So why am I going to talk about keen issues on a national level radio show?
Because you want to hear yourself talk.
Hardly. My show's about taking phone calls from anybody that wants to talk about anything. That's the reason why we didn't call it the Ian and Mark Show, because it's not about hearing ourselves talk.
Mark,
anyway, good morning.
Bye-bye. And so, 357-1290. One more, probably time for one more call, maybe two, if you make them real fast. And so what else is going on in the city that we haven't talked about recently?
Well,
we started to talk about the post office.
Yeah, and the loss. I heard yesterday Western Union I think they still exist, but they've lost it. That whole phenomenon of changing communications.
Right.
It's hard to keep up with, but it's fascinating.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hello.
Hello.
Nope. Hanging up. Okay.
Probably.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. I just wanted to say that I agreed with the fella who said, is it Ian?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, the one who keeps calling in when he has his own radio show.
Right.
I think he should keep to his own radio show.
Well?
I just get so sick of hearing him call in and badger you and anybody who disagrees with his opinion. It just infuriates me, which you can tell by the shaking of my head.
We can tell.
Yeah. I just get so angry because,
right.
you know, you're going along talking about issues in Keene, and he always has to have his 2 cents, and he doesn't support anything that, in my opinion, we need, mm-hmm. like roads, police, schools, etc. And he should just keep with his program, and I agree. If you have your own program, I'm calming down now. If you, I can't help it. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
If you have your own program, I think that there's something unsavory about calling up and badgering the opponent. You know, not the opponent, but
I know what you mean.
You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Danny should have a talk with him because it just is. I don't know. Not good. So I hear your music, and
they're playing our song.
You're playing our song. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, and that's the end of that. Nat, thank you very, very much for being here today. Appreciated it. Happy birthday again.
Thanks. Thank you.